B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now knowing that Stephon Gilmore ended up testing positive after the game, do you wish in hindsight that maybe the NFL hadn't gone through with the game on Monday night?
Yeah, there's a lot of decisions and things that are out of our control. And so what I'm trying to do is focus on the things that we have control over and do the best job, make the best decisions we can in those situations.
Again, non-answer. But Belichick spoke today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now knowing that Stephon Gilmore ended up testing positive after the game, do you wish in hindsight that maybe the NFL hadn't gone through with the game on Monday night?
Yeah, there's a lot of decisions and things that are out of our control. And so what I'm trying to do is focus on the things that we have control over and do the best job, make the best decisions we can in those situations.
Again, non-answer. Yeah, but Belichick spoke today on all these items, so we'll continue to play the sound from what happened today. And we'll take your calls at 617-779-0985. You have a thought before I go back to the people?
I do, because I want to go back to, first of all, the fact that Belichick doesn't have control over the games being played has to drive him bananas.
Yeah.
Okay, right? Because he wants to control everything, which is part of what makes him who he is. That you know, and as good as he is what I mean. But I want to go back to the Murray thing, too, about Gilmore. They had to know that Gilmore had dinner with Newton. And so their sin in this, if they did, is they put him on the plane anyway. And again, he probably passed the test, but they know what the incubation period is, and they know that the exposure may have been greater. And I can't help but look at it and say, well, wait a minute, they were playing Kansas City. So did they look at it and say, our whole defense is predicated on Stephon Gilmore taking one of those receivers out one-on-one, so we're going to put him on the plane? Like, and I'm just asking, okay? Like, if it had been, I don't know, pick another team that sucks, Miami, the Jets.
Yeah, they'd probably do the more responsible thing and say, you know what, we'll... Say you got injured or whatever, you stay behind. Or say, hey, we don't know. The incubation period is concerning here. You had dinner with him. You get out in front of it. You say you stay home. But because it's Kansas City and that high-powered offensive attack, we'll roll the dice.
I mean, so the fact that it's Kansas City does make me look at it with a little more skepticism.
The Gilmore positive test was Tuesday night, Wednesday morning?
Yesterday. Yeah, yesterday we found morning. Out yeah. yesterday, right.
We had dinner on Friday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 days.
Right.
I mean, maybe.
Like, I wonder if Kansas City factored in. That's all I'm asking, really. Did they look at it and say, it's Kansas City, we need him for this game, put him on the plane?
But if Schefter knew, then the team knew.
Definitely.
You know, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you, Murray. They had to know. Again, Bill didn't answer the question directly, which told me that they knew. That's how I interpreted it. Otherwise, he would have said, no, we don't know. We didn't know.
They call it a lie of omission, I believe.
Ken in Rosendale. Go ahead, Ken. You're up next with Felger and Mass. Hi, Ken. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd just like to talk about the lethality of this thing. In Europe, 50% of the population died in the Black Death. We have 330,000 people in the country. If 10% of the population died, that would be 33 million people. If 1% died, it would be 3.3 million people. If 0.1% died, it would be 330,000 people now. We have 210,000 people dead,
Ken.
Which is terrible, but half of them were in nursing homes. They have to play these games, guys. This is madness. The media is crazy that this is the Black Death. It's nothing close to it. It's madness.
When was the Black Death again there, caller?
Back in back in the 1500s, 1400s, back in Europe.
1347.
Okay. Kind of,
it was in 1347.
You know what they used to do back then when people had headaches? They drilled a hole in their head. I'm not joking.
How is that applicable?
It's not. And in fact, I didn't even know when that was. I thought he was talking about the Spanish flu.
I just Googled it. Black Death, 1347 to 1351.
Yeah, that and the plague were the same thing, I think.
I mean, the Spanish flu was 100 years ago, and I don't think that qualifies. Like, seriously, what are we doing? Totally different medicine. And it's not about the deaths, per se. People always get this wrong, too. Like, it's not just solely about the deaths. It's about completely overloading your medical community and medical system.
This is another guy. So, herd immunity, we should all get it. It's not that deadly, and just the sooner we get it over with, the better. So, okay. So then the plan is, let's all go out and get it and come in here and breathe on each other and just get it over with. You up for that, Mass?
No.
Murray, you want to do that?
I'm good.
You want to just get it injected? Just get it injected straight to your veins. Give it to me. And then we'll get it over with. We'll have herd immunity. We can just, you know, do away with all this nonsense and just go ahead and live our lives. I mean, never mind. I may never be able to see my father again or my mother who just had a heart attack or Maz's elderly father. You need to have your liberty, caller. You need to have your own personal liberty. So I don't want to get in the way of that. So we're just going to go out and we're going to get it and breathe on each other and just get it over with. And then again, I'll never see my parents again, but at least you won't have to wear the mask. And you won't have to put up with the liberal media anymore. So I think that's a good plan, don't you, Miss?
I'm telling you, I want nothing to do with the thing, especially after seeing video of our fearless leader sucking wind on the White House balcony, for crying out loud.
You people, seriously, just wear the mask. Bob and Needham, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'm with you guys totally. They should absolutely have to play if it stays like it is now. You know, they'd be the first one, Michael, complaining about missing their bye week if they, you know, some of the other teams.
Oh, my God.
If be the first one
just picture if this were the Jets. If this were the Jets and Sam Darnold got it, and then he went out to dinner with whoever their best defensive player is now. Do they even have one? But whatever. No. And then they had to travel the day of the game and then play another game without practicing. We would be laughing our ass off at the Jets. Stupid Jets. No institutional control. Was it unlucky? Maybe. But, hey, these are the rules, and this is what we all agreed to. Or if that were Kansas City. If that were Kansas City and Pat Mahomes had to miss the game and they had to fly out the morning of and go through the whole thing that the Patriots had to so unfairly go through last week, if that were Kansas City, would you be saying, this isn't right, that's not fair? What about the safety? Is that what you would be saying?
No, what they'd be saying is, yeah, Andy Reid probably didn't follow protocols.
You say, stupid Chiefs, that's what you get for running a derelict organization with a bunch of derelict players, and these are the protocols and these are the rules we all agreed to, and now we have to live by them. We're kicking the ball at 7, is what you would say.
No question.
Sorry, Bob, go ahead.
And no, not only that, Michael, it would have been tough cookies for them. It would have been another case of Andy Reid's, not having clock management in the game. He treats the same as the COVID thing as clock management. And God only knows what to say about Adam Gase. But another thing, look at Tennessee. What the hell is going on down there? Because if someone tested positive today, it's a 5-8. So they haven't gotten control in 2 weeks, which is shocking.
Well, it's 5 days is the average, Bob. 5 days is like the median. You can test positive up to 14 days. And that's not even, you can even go beyond that. Sack said yesterday 98% test positive within 14 days, which means there's another 2%
that go beyond that.
That even go beyond that. So, yeah, if Tennessee players are still ringing up positive, I mean, what does that say?
Oh, gosh, they were loose. There's no two ways about it. Now, again, there was travel involved. So that's a fair, because again, I don't know about the airflow on buses.
Yeah.
We've been well educated in the last day about the airflow on planes. But on buses, smaller area, like, oof, that's scary. You put some guys on a bus, 300-pound heavy, sweating guys on a bus.
It's the inside stuff. Locker rooms. The buses, the locker rooms, like that to me feels like even the hallways are, you know, that's what it feels like to me. You know, when it first started, Maz, last March, the ski areas, you know, here but in Europe, like, were super spreaders that just, you know, exploded in the ski areas. And I remember saying at the time, well, what? That feels like the safest place there is. You're outside. You're not even close to anybody. Like, well, how is it the ski mountains?
The lodge.
Après. It's the bar afterwards. It's all closed up. You got your stuff off. Oh, man, that was the greatest run. Yeah. You're shouting at each other. You're drinking. You're shouting. You're sweating. And never mind the gondolas, which is also what they determined. But it's like, no, when you're outside, generally, it's okay, generally.
Oh, those laws are a petri dish.
Oh, they are. Yeah, they're brutal.
So gross.
So, but like, apply to a locker room or
same idea.
The bus after, like, that to me feels like the danger zone.
Definitely. And look, it happened at the soccer stadium in Italy, right? But you're talking literally people shoulder to shoulder, 40,000 people.
That's right.
Right. So that, and again, now that's outdoors, but it's a unique environment too. Everybody's jammed in there like sardines. So it's close quarters. Close quarters. The lodge is like perfect.
Oh, forget about it.
Oh, God. People open their mouths eating lunch, sucking down chili, farting, drinking the whole nine yards.
It's even the right temperature, right? It's like that. It's not freezing, but it's cool in there. And it's just like, that is.
God, awful. It.
Don't go skiing.
Right, turn up the heat in here while we're here.
Tim in Nashua. Go ahead, Tim.
Mike, real quick, very noticeable on the defense from 1 week to last week. Do you think Belichick is taking away some of the responsibilities of his son or whoever else is calling these plays? Because what I saw is the old defense, and they actually, you know, that's a good team they're playing. And it's, you know, one of the positive things that I took out of that game.
I just thought it was a real smart game plan. Just really smart.
To me, that's what it was.
Way to play them. I mean, it's not like they were, I thought the last couple of years they got really exotic with some of their blitzes and like sort of pressure
amoeba fronts,
pressure schemes and things like that. That's what this was not that. This was 3 and 4 man rushes, and the rest you get the hell back and make Mahomes be patient and figure it out. And he didn't.
And they're able to do it maybe because they've actually found a pass rusher and guys like Winovich and Dietrich Wise. Now that he's healthy, that's why you can, you know, just kind of rush three up front and just go man to man in the secondary like they did. It was great.
I think this is just classic Bill reading the other side. And I, you know, not even the skill thing, just going, they want to move. They want to move. They want to go fast. They want to get the ball down the field. They don't want to drive down with 14 plays. They want to throw. They want to move fast. They want to keep the pace up. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to drop 8 and make the quarterback hold the ball. We're going to slow them down. Andy Reid doesn't like that, and the quarterback's not going to like that, and it's going to screw up all their timing. And I think he nailed it. I think it was, you know, the game plan was fabulous.
Okay. We're going to take a quick breather from this. Because there's a few things that we want to hit on that are not COVID related. We'll get back to it and your phone calls. But again, Tuukka Rask has declared that he wants to be a Boston Bruin and doesn't want to go anywhere else. He wants to be here. Do you want him here? And some baseball thoughts as well. Coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo!
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The 1-1. Swung on, there it goes. It deep left field, it is high, not as far, it is gone. A Stantonian home run. Giancarlo, no si può stopparlo. So his second home run of the game, and the Yankees are right back in the game. It's a 3-run blast, and the Yankees now trail 5-4.
We meant to play that yesterday and do it yesterday because Maz's guy, Giancarlo Stanton, is freaking on fire right now, and he hit a home run. Did you folks see this home run he hit? It was not last night. It was the night before. I think it was measured at 458.
Something like that. I think they were missing a zero.
What a freaking bomb that was.
It was a freaking smash. Smash. And I'll tell you what, the whole launch angle thing has me pissed off because they're trying to force it on everybody. There are only certain guys that should go up there trying to hit the ball on an angle like that and trying to jack it. And he's one of them. He is one of them. What a freaking bomb that was. An absolute smash. Holy crap, if people haven't seen that, they gotta look it up. That's one of the longest ones I've seen. That thing was a freaking smash.
All right, we just wanted to give Maz a chance to do that. Meanwhile, the Yanks are down 2-1, about to be eliminated. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I hate it. I want the Yankees in it. And look, I've been a little bit more engaged in this round than the previous one. The 3-game series thing, I had a real hard time investing in. This one, a little bit more so. So I'm more interested when the Yankees are in it. The Tampa Bay to me does nothing for me. Zero. So I want the glitz of New York, or, you know, the size of New York. I want the Yankees roster. I want Judge. I want Stanton. I want Cole. I want the Stars. I want all those guys in it. And I think if baseball is to have any chances postseason at all, and I'm not sure they do, because that I think that horse has left the barn. But it's got to be the Yankees and the Dodgers and those teams. It's got to be those clubs.
Okay. Why are the Yankees losing is a more pertinent question. It's just, you know, something we spent a lot of time on, the nature of the modern game. And I did look this up the other day because I knew that the Yankees, I think two nights ago, the night that Stanton hit that home run, I think they struck out 18 times.
I think that's right.
18.
Yeah, it was a record. Yeah.
There's 27 outs in a ball game. So two-thirds of their outs are strikeouts. So every inning you're watching, two of the three guys are not putting the ball in play. They're striking out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I think they had seven hits or something like that. Here's what I know. In the last two games, both Yankee losses, the Yankees have struck out 25 times and have had only 14 hits. So talk about the problem with the modern game. They're just swinging out their ass.
Yep, every at bat.
It's just home run derby. It's either home run or nothing. 25 strikeouts, 14 hits in the last two games. Look at Tampa Bay in those two games. 14 strikeouts, 21 hits. So could it be simply that Tampa is just trying to draw some contact and put the bat on the ball? Well, like, what a novel concept, as opposed to this ridiculous, out of control MLB trend of launch angle and home run and three true outcome. Seems to me Tampa's just putting the bat on the ball, striking out a lot less, scratching out, you know, more hits, and winning these ball games. Is that it? Is that what it is? And I'm just, baseball desperately needs a market correction, Maz. You know, really to help the pace of play and the whole nature of the game. But at some point, some nerd has got to sit down and draw up a new program that says maybe striking out 18 times in a 27-out ball game isn't the best way to win a baseball game. And it starts to course correct, and maybe they start going back to guys who can draw a little more contact and play the game a little bit more than just walk, strike out, home run. And I don't know. I would just like to think that, because just based on those raw numbers, it feels like Tampa is swinging a little bit less out of their ass, swinging and missing a little less, and winning these ball games and are about to beat the New York Yankees. So can we input that into the computer program and start to change, to bring balance back to the game a little bit?
Well, I think inevitably you're going to get that. You're going to get some sort of backlash. And I think you catch little glimpses of it here and there, and maybe the Rays are one of them. But like Eric Hosmer, who plays for the Padres, if you remember early this year, tried to bunt against the shift and actually ended up breaking his finger on the bunt.
Oh, God. Well, okay. That'll teach him.
Right. So, but
swing for the home run.
But the whole idea is, I think you started to see just a glimmer of it, of people doing things they wouldn't normally do to try to combat some of the analytics bullcrap that's going on.
I mean, the strikeouts are just stupid. I mean,
ridiculous.
You can't tell me that striking out 18 times in a ball game, you know, even if the other at-bats are home runs, is the way to play the game, or is the way to win a game. It's just gotten absurd. There was a Red Sox item we wanted to hit on here during our baseball minute. Their TV ratings came in, Maz, last week, and they showed what, and what does it tell you?
Okay, so the Red Sox, and these are local TV ratings in each market, apples to apples. The Red Sox local television ratings dropped 54%. 54%. Which was the biggest drop in the entire major leagues. More people watch Tampa Bay Rays games this year than watch Red Sox games. Okay, so now if you are the Red Sox and you are not paying attention to that, you are an idiot. So this to me is the big problem facing the team right now. They are losing fans by the truckload. So again, now it was an unusual year. It was a COVID year and the team was dead in the water right out of the gate. And they were just cooked. So people had a hard time investing. It was over fast. And then you add in, I mean, the NBA ratings are down during COVID. So I think that, you know, people are having a hard time sort of reengaging anyway. But then you add on the team's inept performance, not to mention the trade of Mookie Betts and all the other things that happened, injuries and whatnot. I think people have disconnected. I think the Red Sox are going to have a hell of a time trying to get them back.
Sounds like they need to, what's the term?
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, right.
Be better?
Be better.
Mm. Yeah, they do. They need to better. Be better. They,
I mean, the offseason was really one big middle finger to the hardcore fan base, too. Like, if shipping off Mookie Betts and seeing how he's performed for the Dodgers, Like, how do you look at that and be like, oh, F them, at least for a year? I mean, it's been a downward trend for a while, but this year it was one big middle finger.
Can I just reset the be better thing? Because it is poignant here. It's if in case you didn't know, Murray, I think the first weekend of the baseball
season. It was the opener.
Opener.
Said, no thanks, I'm not going to engage. And said that on the radio, right?
Yeah.
And Tom Caron of Nesson was listening and tweeted out, blasting Murray, said, how can you be a media guy in this town and not watch the game? Be better. Something like that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Be better. Meanwhile,
that was the first and last game that Murray didn't watch.
I was going to say, guess who was ahead of the curve on that one? Right. Because it feels like millions of you across the great state of Massachusetts and throughout New England followed Murray's lead in short order. So do you people need to be better? Or do you just know a bad product when you see one?
Yeah, they hashtag couldn't be worse is what the Red Sox were. Seriously, what a freaking train wreck that season was.
And the last thing that sport needs is sanctimonious media people who cover it. Like, get over it, Tom. Love you, mean it. But geez, your sport is teetering, dude. You know, worry about your sport, not about who's watching it or covering it. And, you know, try and make your sport better. Because it desperately needs it. Never mind just the Red Sox product in and of itself. I just explained to you the Yankee thing. Like, the sport's gone off the rails.
Oh, gosh, the quality of the product blows. I don't know how many times I can say that. What did you say the NBA ratings were down the finals versus, or the playoffs versus, like, last year? 50% almost?
Big, yeah. I can't remember the exact number, but they were down big.
Wait till we see the World Series ones. Wait till we see those.
Look out.
Those are going to be astronomical. And they had, you know, less to give than basketball did, because the finals typically are pretty good. So baseball didn't have a lot of fat to trim there. Again, going back to the Red Sox, if I'm them, my number one concern this offseason is finding a way to get my fan base to reengage, because people have quit on the team, and I don't blame them.
So it turns out Murray was just ahead of the curve.
Way ahead.
On that one. One game, jumping the gun? Maybe in hindsight, no. Just prescient. Meanwhile, we do have to get to Tuukka Rask has declared his intentions this offseason. The league year, the NHL league year begins tomorrow, and Rask has been all over these trade rumors. How does he feel about it? We'll give you the update here and discuss right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it. Billy, are you hopeful? I know you mentioned you're taking it day by day, but are you hopeful that you'll be able to play on Sunday?
We're preparing. Yeah, we're preparing today like a normal Thursday. We'll see what the schedule is or isn't, but at this point, we're preparing for a normal Thursday. I mean, normal in terms of meetings, not normal in terms of practice. We can't do anything from a practice standpoint other than, you know, watch film and, you know, talk through assignments and things like that, like we did, earlier this year when we were in virtual meetings.
Again, welcome, Belichick. We're just picking our way through his press conference today. And we'll get back to that in one second. I do just want to touch on the Tuukka Rask story. Steve Conroy of the Herald. I don't know if others had it. Steve Conroy caught up to Rask. Guy loves his golf. It was just heading out to Sean Thornton's Putts and Punches tournament at Ferncroft Country Club. So Steve Conroy of the Herald caught up with him. And Rask said he didn't want to play for anyone else other than the Bruins. And he referenced Don Sweeney's comment from a couple weeks ago where Sweeney said they're comfortable with their goaltending going forward. Sort of more of a generic comment, not a firm declaration that we're not trading Rask. I mean, Sweeney never really said that. But that's what Rask is saying. Rask said, quote, I think Sweeney came out and said that's not going to happen, meaning a trade. He says, I don't see any reason for that. I've been here for a long time, and the organization's been so great for me. We've built our home in Boston, and we call this home. So, yeah, I don't want to play for anybody else. I think where my head's at is focusing on next year and then hopefully a couple more years after that.
Right.
And then pass the torch for the next guy after that. I want to help the organization as much as I can.
More years.
He says more years. So then, of course, Conroy says, well, have you talked to him about an extension? And Rass says, they have so much on their plate right now with the draft and everything. We're just trying to get to next season and get that going and get back to somewhat normal. And then we can talk about an extension later. Extension?
Wasn't he talking about retirement?
He says, I still have one more year left. There's no rush. But like I said, I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to finish my career here. Extension? We getting ahead of yourself? Can you show up for the playoff games first? And then we'll talk about, I don't know, keeping you. And then if you finally come through when it matters most, then we'll talk about an extension. Are you putting the cart before the horse there?
I mean, I'm surprised that he mentioned the extension. But it does sort of tell you, like, you know, he's not going to retire. I mean, if that's what he's putting out there publicly, maybe that is a way to say to the Bruins, you know, I'll work with you on the next deal. So I'm not.
Forget the next deal. Next deal is not on the table.
I'm just saying, maybe he's playing some sort of political game here.
Oh, stop it with the next deal. Stop it.
Trade him.
Enough.
Let's be done with this, please.
Enough.
I'm not sure I feel that way.
Oh,
enough.
Maz.
I'm serious.
Enough of this.
Maz, other than the lunatic, hardcore Tuca Kool-Aid drinkers, anyone with a half-working brain knows it's time to move on.
So
it's over.
So let me just, he has no more trade protection. So he had no movement clauses and limited no movement clauses for the first 6 years of this deal. This is the final year of the deal. He's lost all those protections. So they can trade him to whoever they want, whenever they want. So he has no say in it anymore. So just know that. So the fact that he wants to stay means squat. Okay? It means squat. It's all about what the Bruins want in this situation.
Unless you're trying to kill interest from other teams. In other words, if you're another team and you hear Tuca say, I want to play with the Bruins, I want to finish my career here, is he threatening retirement?
So
you follow me?
No, he didn't say.
He was before. I mean, he was talking about retirement before, like, you know, before they went to the bubble.
No, I know he hasn't literally, like, said, I will retire if I get traded.
It's not addressed in this story. It's not even brought up.
But I just wonder if it's his way to throw it out there to discourage teams from dealing for him.
In the story, they do go into him leaving the bubble and why he left the bubble. And this has been, you know, we generally knew this. He said, I got a call from my wife and my daughter was in a state that she needed medical attention and she wasn't doing well. At that point, I had no choice but to go home. It was as simple as that. I love this line. He says, if you get a phone call wherever you're at, like I did, it's a pretty easy decision. What bothered me a little bit was people thinking that I left because I didn't like it there. Next sentence. I'm not going to lie. It was awful. So it's like, where do you think we got the idea, Tukes? You wore it on your sleeve how much you hated it there. So she's like, it bothered me that people thought I didn't like it there. I'll be honest. It was awful. Jesus, this guy. But he said that wasn't the reason he left. He says, if I didn't have a reason to leave, I wouldn't have left, obviously. But my daughter's fine. And goes up. But I'm sorry, Tuca. I don't believe you. I don't. You never wanted to come back from the first second they started coming back. And we've detailed this. And not many people don't. For whatever reason, you're protected by the guys that cover the team. But the second they announced their return, you were lukewarm. The first interview you did from your backyard in the pandemic was like, I haven't been doing anything. I guess I got to start skating now. And then they started skating, and you didn't last 2 days before you had a finger or something, or you stepped on your finger box jumping or something, and then you left. And then you came back a couple days later. Then you get to the bubble, and you hit the cough button the second day you're there, and you missed another couple days. It's like he was screaming out, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Even before you got the call from your daughter. So stop it. Keep it real. So, like, I hate using the family excuse, and I'm not telling you it's not legit that he didn't get that call. Obviously, he got that call, and obviously, he has an issue with his wife and his daughter and all of that. Like, I'm not telling you he's making that up. He's not. But be honest about how you felt even before you got to that point. You never wanted to be back. You never wanted to play.
Well, the fact is, even if he had stayed in the bubble with his level of focus being where it was, which is borderline non-existent, he wasn't going to give them what they needed.
I mean, before he got the call, he loses the playoff game and says, I'm not sweating it. It's just August hockey. I'm not sweating the results. Like, he's screaming to you. He wasn't in it. He didn't want to be there. So let's just be honest, shall we? You'd be better off. So, like, if I'm the team, I'm sorry. You know,
both parties need a new start.
Yep, love you, mean it. I'm sorry you built a home here. You can still come back here in the offseason. This can be your home. No problem. You're just going to have to go to Colorado to play the last couple of years of your career. Love you, mean it. And that's what I would do if I were the Bruins.
So I told you, my concern here is you got to tell me what they end up with in goal.
Okay.
Because if they end up with some stiff, and, you know, I know it's not going to be Daniel Vladar, But if you get somebody in there that's unreliable, oh, I don't like that.
Okay, meanwhile, tomorrow starts free agency in the league, and it should be fascinating. There's deals already. I love this Montreal-Columbus deal. Max Domi, who I like, for Josh Anderson, that big power forward who McAvoy went back and forth with a couple years ago. That's like a good hockey trade. We'll send you a little pest center for your big bruising right wing. And, like, I liked that trade. I was like, I don't know. I just found that interesting.
Anderson would have been a good Bruin.
Would have been. I think they liked him at one point. You talk about the next goalie, Matt Murray, who was available in Pittsburgh. He was shipped to Ottawa. So he's out. Heard, you know, just some of the rumors is Marc-Andre Fleury there in Vegas, that the Bruins might have been talking to him. And now that's another nutcase, but at least he's a nutcase that has won. He's also old and overpaid. But again, old, overpaid, and has won. And also, because Vegas is trying to peddle his contract, you might get a draft pick out of it to boot. You know, when you traded Backes last year, you had to send along a first-round pick to get rid of that contract. And this is the way it works in the league now. Teams dealing bad contracts have to send along high picks to get someone to assume that contract. So would you take, would you let Tuukka Rask walk? You know, deal him for something, and then take Marc-Andre Fleury in a first-round pick back in return.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Fleury's going on 36. He's got 2 years left on his deal at 7 per as the cap hit. So it's the same price, basically. And you get
a first-round pick out of it.
But you get a first-round pick.
Yeah, the pick is really why I'm making that deal. I mean, he's sufficient in goal. He's nothing great at this point in his career. But to get that kind of pick back, yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what it is.
There's a lot of goalies floating out there,
Matt. Yeah, there are. It's a goalie market.
Corey Crawford just got kicked to the curb by Chicago.
Okay, I'm not the hugest fan, but he's obviously good enough to win a cup if you've got the right team around him. He's proven that. Henk Lundqvist has already told everybody he's going to the Capitals, so take him off the board. But there's a lot of guys out there.
Yeah, no, it's a goalie market. But if you're telling me you could move Rask, effectively, move Rask for Fleury in a first-rounder, yeah, I would do it.
I mean, yeah.
That's basically what you're talking about. So, and yes, I would do that.
You're just kind of exchanging one, you know, sort of nutty guy for another nutty guy, but at least the other nutty guy's won and has, you know, proven he can win at that level. He's also proven he can completely melt down. I mean, so it's
you still have Halak, though.
But you still have that. And so, I mean, I don't know. But the fact that Rasby wants to remain a Bruin, I hope they ignore that and just do what you think's best for the team. And if he's got to move, he has to move. And if he has to, you know, geez. I mean, enough of this already, is what I would say if I were the Bruins. All right, we'll pick up your calls on this. Everything else right after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stephon Gilmore told us he was asymptomatic or announced it via social media. I'm just curious if you have an update for us on Cam Newton, how he's feeling.
I haven't talked to him in a day, so I'm not sure. I don't have anything current for you.
Do you anticipate he'll be able to take part in meetings?
In virtual meetings?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
Just asking.
Yeah. No, I mean, anybody that tested positive wouldn't be allowed to be in any in-person meetings until they're cleared medically. So that's that. But in terms of virtual meetings. Yeah, absolutely.
Another pleasant exchange there with Belichick today. What are you guys saying?
Good for Giardi.
Yeah, good for Mike Giardi there.
Seriously.
Just like, asking.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm doing my job. Sorry.
Sorry to offend you.
Because, again, you know, I don't know, Bill. You know, what if he's got 103 fever and his doctor told him to stay in bed? So I'm just asking.
Is he able to prepare for the game like everybody else?
Right. Like, what's wrong with that question?
Why wouldn't he be?
I don't really.
And then I think Bill realized it too, because then he gave a real answer. Right? But it was almost like, I'm just asking the question, dude.
I'm going to default to Dick.
Yeah.
It's my default. If I'm not sure exactly what you're asking, or I didn't even really hear it, or maybe I zoned out for a minute, I'm just going to default to being a jerk about it.
Yep. William Richard Belichick. My friends call me Dick.
The thing, he hasn't spoken to him in a day, though.
You know what? I sense a little manipulation there. Like, you know, no, he hasn't, but his assistant has.
Or did he text him? Or like,
or McDaniels has.
So wait, it's Thursday of game week. He might play, he might not. You haven't had any contact in 24 hours?
He didn't say contact. He said spoken to.
Oh, God.
Maybe. I bet you he's playing one of those stupid games.
Seriously.
Or maybe he's telling the truth and he's just pissed at him because you kind of got this yourself because you went out to dinner. That's how you caught this. You're a little loose.
Okay, well, in terms of being pissed, if he's not going to talk to a quarterback he's pissed at, there's no quarterback for him to speak to. Because I'd be pissed at all of them with the way that they've played or carried themselves. But again, I do wonder if they're a little annoyed with Newton and or Gilmore. But anyway, you're all lined up. He'll try and zip through these calls as quickly as we can. Mike and Newton on those Red Sox ratings. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, so as far as Red Sox, as the younger fan base, someone not over 65, I think they made the biggest mistake by trading Betts. That was their biggest problem. You can't get rid of your stars, especially baseball. You get rid of your star players for a Red Sox fans, you lost everyone.
Okay, let me ask you, Maz, the 54% drop, how much of that was Betts?
Oh, I think that it was part of it. Yeah, I think people are upset about it, but I disagree that it was the wrong thing. They would have lost him now anyway. He was going to leave. And it looks like Verdugo can actually play a little bit. I'm not telling you he's Betts, but you know, Mookie was gone either way. You were either going to get pissed last offseason or this one.
If your team was in first place, you didn't have Rask, didn't have Mookie Betts, you would have lost a little ratings, but not much.
No. No, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a hit because, you know, people like Mookie and they're mad at the team, but it's not the number one reason.
It's a combination of the team and the overall product, the overall, you know, state of baseball and what baseball games have become. 3.5-hour home run derbies. 3.5-hour strikeout, walk, home run. And then that and the fact your team sucked. Those are the two items. I think Betts is a distant third or fourth on that list. Joe in Maine on Tuukka Rask. Go.
Michael, you need to get with Maz on this. The goaltending situation in Boston has to remain for another year. They're only fifth in the league when it comes to their percentage towards the salary cap, and that money needs to go to forwards. You're crazy. They should keep Rask around for two more years, along with Halak. You're a scoreboard guy. Look at the data. Leave the person out because you're getting too personal on it.
Personal? I've never met the man in my life. Nothing personal against Tuukka Rask. He just hasn't won. And you can't rely on him when the season hits its most crucial point. And it's not just bubble related. It's not just COVID related. He did that to you a couple times well before the end of the world. So it's no.
Why would anyone think it's going to change?
It's now? That. It's he hasn't proven he can win.
See, my issue isn't whether it's going to change. It's what they put in his place. Because again, Halak was brutal there for part of that postseason. He can't play all the time. I mean, you know, not that Rask can either, but at least when he was in there during the regular season, he was good.
Selfishly, if it's another suck veteran, I'd rather the other suck veteran than this suck veteran.
Me too.
I'm just so tired of arguing about this stiff and his dumb stats that get shoved down my throat that have produced absolutely nothing. I mean, I'm rassed out. Get him out of here. Enough.
Harry in Maine. Give me more Harry. Give me more Rask.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Time to get rid of Tuukka. I think the reason why Tuukka's saying that he's dying to stay with the Bruins now is because he looks at the market and he sees how replaceable he is. If we get rid of Tuukka, is the Bruins starting goalie position not the single most attractive destination for any of those free agents? Thanks, guys.
Okay, I mean, let me tell you why I think Rask is talking. He just doesn't want to move. He built a home.
I think that's it completely.
It's an inconvenience.
He built a home. He's comfortable here. His wife likes it here. They're comfortable. And that's it. He has no particular burning desire to win a Stanley Cup for the Boston Bruins. I don't think that's on his list. Frankly, I don't think he gives a crap.
It's an incredibly stressful endeavor, moving. It's right up there with the loss of a loved one. A therapist will tell you that. He don't want to have to move.
He just doesn't want to have to box everything up and go move to Colorado. And that's no reason to keep a guy.
Just get an apartment, dude. You got the money.
I mean,
I do wonder if they traded him if he'd retire.
There are athletes who get to this stage in their career. Brilliant career. And he has. He's had a brilliant career. And who haven't won a championship and have an insatiable, burning desire to do nothing but win that championship. I have to win that championship or my career is not complete. And I have this hole in my gut and this hole in my entire being. Until I win, I will not be whole. My career will not be complete. And I think Rask has a worldview that is so far from that, it's not even funny.
Oh, no, he's not that guy.
I think he's far more concerned about the fact that he's comfortable in his home. He just built it. He likes his golf club. He likes his golf buddies. His wife is comfortable. He doesn't have to deal with uprooting and going. Is that a reason to keep a guy? I don't care about your being inconvenienced. Mike in Plymouth on Red Sox. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just got a quick question from Maz. And if he knows if there's any truth behind the Trevor Bauer rumors in the Red Sox.
Well, so look, apparently Bauer, Murray was on Twitter or Instagram that he put it out there that he was in town.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. He posted a photo of a airline ticket that had his name on it to a flight to Boston. I'm already annoyed with this guy. I didn't like him really in the first place, but he loves doing online games. You see what he's done the latest?
No.
Oh, he tweeted something like, looks like the Yankees could use some pitching too. This is going to be, it's going to be a game.
Oh,
he's already set it up. He's going to use all the competitive teams that have mountains of money and at mention them and get all their fan bases riled up saying like, oh no, we're going to get Trevor Bauer on our staff for next season. And he's going to end up, sure, he'll pick one of them, but he's going to dick around with everyone over the next few months.
Oh, I want him. I need him. This guy's a first-class tool bag.
Oh, he would be great for the show.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't overpay him as a pitcher.
Be David Price. David Price all over again. Just a little more, just like David Price on steroids. And I didn't mean that literally, necessarily. But he's filthy. I saw him pitch once a couple weeks ago. Filthy.
Oh, it's even more. So 17 hours ago, kind of looks like the at Yankees could use some more starting pitching. Interesting. Followed up a few hours later. This year's at Padres team is scary. Imagine what their offense, defense, and attitude could look like next year with a stable of elite starting pitchers.
This guy is such a clown.
I kind of like him now.
This is the guy that was pulled out of a playoff game because he sliced his hand playing with his Star Wars droid.
Droid,
whatever. It's the same difference. He was playing with his Star Wars toy.
The Millennium Falcon.
And he sliced his hand, and so he had to lose playoff games. The Indians lost. Part of the reason is because this little child tool bag cut himself playing with his Star Wars toy. And
he's also the guy who, after giving up a home run once, Terry Francona went out to the mound to get him, and he threw the ball over the center field wall.
Yeah, I remember that one, too.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
He's a first-class A-hole.
He'd be good for this show. He lives online. He's always online.
Go back and read his stuff about them playing here in the bubble or playing here in COVID and how hard he fought it. Like, wasn't he all over the league?
Oh, yeah. Thing? No. He was number one guy out there just ripping away. He was great.
This guy's a first-class ass clown, and I want him, and I want him yesterday. He'd be perfect for us. Someone else who's perfect for us is Paul Perillo from Patriots.com. He joins us right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.